This is Will's Band of the Week for March 3rd, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in the studio.
Hey, everybody.
And Chris, in cyberspace from an undisclosed location.
Yes, I've fled to Illinois, and I'm where only the Will's Band of the Week podcast can find me.
But we found you, and
we only just dialed up
your Skype account, so we don't know whether you're in like the Clock Tower in Rockford, or you could be at like the Comfort Inn in Belvedere or something.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there's just.
We sent some state troopers over to his house to try to compel him to show up.
And all they did was knock on the door, and his wife said he's not home, and they said, okay, see you later.
Right.
That's all that happened.
But all the news crews were there and stuff. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll put a link up to that.
I know where Chris really is. He's at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
Right. They just timed me in the 40.
You don't even sound winded. What did you do? Like about a four something for sure.
I did about a 14.4.
Oh, okay. And that was also in the 25-yard dash.
You know, this will be meaningless to anybody who doesn't follow Wisconsin Badger football, but I believe I'm correct that the defensive end, J.J. Watt, ran a faster 40 than the running back, John Clay, at the combine. Isn't that bizarre?
Oh.
If you're a running back, you're supposed to run fast, right?
Right.
This would be the idea.
That is why J.J. Watt's going to be picked in the first half of the first round.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas John Clay will not.
Right. I believe that is the case. All right, there's our meaningless trivia that means nothing to anybody. And did you know that you can contact us by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com? Apparently not enough people know that because not too many people send us emails, but on occasion we get them. You can also...
Except people in England...
Oh, right. Well, that was a Facebook comment, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually where I am right now. I'm hiding in England, and I sent you guys an email from here, posing as a fan of the podcast.
Wow.
Well, in the event that it were actually a real person, then that person's name would have been Craig Pierce from Hampshire in England, who's wondering whether he's our most distant fan. And, well, as far as somebody we know by name, I guess he is, right?
Yeah.
As of right now, he's our fan.
Right. He's our only fan. Well, we have had downloads
from... Anurag.
Right, right. But we've had downloads from crazy places like Portugal and, you know, not so crazy places like Japan and, you know. So now whether those people could...
The Portuguese would consider Portugal to be that crazy.
No, I mean, just... Crazy. Anything that isn't the Midwestern United States,
whoever
to
that
me
person
is
in
crazy.
Portugal was, that was the last one you're going to see from Portugal now. Thanks, Will.
Yeah, that's true. I apologize. Crazy was the wrong word choice. Far away places, I meant to say.
Yeah.
Exotic.
Right, right. Portugal's pretty exotic for us, I would say. You can also...
for me.
You can also contact us by sending... posting a comment on the website, willsband.net, or the Facebook page, which is the Will's Band of the Week podcast. And then, of course, there's iTunes. Don't forget iTunes. We are there. So, is there any music news before we go to our blockbuster music extravaganza for this week? Hearing nothing, there apparently is no music news.
Well, it is good news that we do have followers in England, because we are doing... A little known English band this week, are we not?
Known and a little known one, actually. Yes. So, I think let's let Chris lead it off here because I think historically you're kind of the biggest fan of this band, right? Among the three of us. Although Barrett said he was going to buy the $80 package, so he must be a fan too.
I'm a big fan too.
Well, I told you the story about how I ended up buying the last album for like $50.
Oh, right, yeah.
Just the regular album because I didn't know how to do
the translation, the currency conversion.
The exchange rate.
Yeah.
I thought, and I don't even know it now. This will show my ignorance. I thought like 20 pounds was $10 when in fact it's actually $40. So I bought the new Radiohead because they were doing the whole thing where you could pay for it online, just pay whatever you want. And I thought, I'll kick them $10. It's normally what I would pay, and I ended up paying $40 for it, and it wasn't even like I'm an international man of finance.
Yeah, well, I hope it was worth $40 for you. You know, that's the real question. Did you get your value out of it?
Well, I listened to it enough. I'm just going to give it away, though. Shockingly, I actually like this new one even more than I liked that one, which is a little odd because of all the reviews that I've read tend to be a little bit down on this one as compared to the last few. But I actually like it more than the reviews that I've seen.
Well, maybe if you're saying down, that'd be a relative term. I mean, the reviews have generally been very good, but maybe just not like totally gushing.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying.
So, yes, it is the band Radiohead, and they released this album in, like, I think we were talking about this in a recent podcast. At least I was saying that I think it was kind of cool how they did it. They just said, hey, we've got an album. We're going to release it in a week, basically, right? And they didn't do any build up, and then by releasing it themselves, they avoided the inevitable leaking and all this stuff. They just everybody got it at the same time, and then they released it a day earlier than they said they were going to. So that was even another little cool thing.
Yeah, something that I think 99.4% of bands probably could not do.
Right, exactly.
You have to attain a certain status before you pull stuff like that. But
exactly.
Yeah, it seemed to work. And they had the video out at least a couple days before, the video for Lotus Flower.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen, maybe I've seen a little bit of the video, but I was...
It's essentially just a black and white video of Thom Yorke trying to get a hat off his head while dancing. Hmm. That's what it appears. He's a very frenetic dancer. He dances a lot like my 5-year-old son.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're a band to be heard and not seen so much in terms of, I don't really care about the videos, but maybe that's because I'm an audio guy, not a video guy.
Yeah, videos, I mean, this one, was really the first chance for a lot of people to hear the song, so I think it got some attention for that. But other than that, I'm not someone that seeks out videos. I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should start playing something.
Some songs, yeah.
Chris, what is going to be your featured pick from the album?
I am actually extremely fond of the second half of this album. I like the first, but much more fond of the second. And so I'm going to go with the album closer, which is a song called Separator.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a great one. That was one of my picks as well.
Yeah, the second half of this album is actually really kind of mellow, and I really like that about it. It's not, you know, there aren't any real up-tempo kind of rockers. It's just all really kind of, you know, kind of laid back, and I really enjoyed it.
I liked the second half better at first, but then I started to like the first half more, so it kind of evened out. So I agree, it's pretty consistent. It's 8 tracks. It's kind of succinct. It's 37 and a half minutes, which is probably, I don't know, their shortest album, I bet, right? As far as a full-length album, if you're going to call it
that.
Yeah,
I was surprised when I downloaded it. It was only 8 songs long. But, you know, when you only have one day to release it, maybe there were a couple that they forgot to put on.
Did you see the rumors? There were rumors that, like, there were hints that there would be, you know, the album is called The King of Limbs. And there was somewhere where it was listed as The King of Limbs 1 or something. So people were saying, that means there's going to be a King of Limbs 2. And then people started making jokes about playing it backwards and stuff. So I don't know. I think it's just obsessive fans. But you never know. I mean, they do keep you guessing because they just, you know, the way they release this, you never know. They could release something else if they felt like it. Barrett, what do you got?
Well, first, some general impressions. It took me a while to really kind of get into it and to just really understand it or become familiar with any of the songs. Nothing was really jumping out at me at first. You know, as you guys mentioned earlier, the single Lotus Flower, if the word single really has any meaning anymore, but the one that there's a video of and, you know, what's poised to be maybe the more popular song. That one I liked right away. And, I think the second catchiest one, it might not be my favorite, but is number 2, Warning Mr. Magpie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's got a lot of the, you know, the Radiohead signifiers and stuff that, you know, kind of familiar sounds and kind of a skittery rhythm.
Yeah.
And listening to the drums in the background, it almost sounds like they're syncopated, but it almost sounds like they're rushing the song a little bit and they almost get ahead at times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the rest of the song almost struggles to keep up with it, so it's like, creates a little bit of tension, or maybe I'm just drunk.
So now have you done a like a deep analysis of the lyrics? so far? Like, what does the album mean? All that type of stuff?
I sure haven't. Barrett, have you?
This song is about Thom Yorke's alienation from the modern world. That's just a guess, but I think it's probably a pretty good guess.
As told through a magpie? Aren't Heckle and Jekyll magpies?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's I think there's something there. Well, people tend to like read so much into Radiohead albums, like retroactively people think that Radiohead actually foretold what was going to happen on 9/11 in the album Kid A. So, like, you go through and listen to the lyrics and it's exactly like what happened on 9/11.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Prophetic. Yeah.
Just like Frank Baum prophetically predicted what would happen on the dark side of the moon when he wrote The Wizard of Oz back in whenever that was, 1939.
Hmm. Right? Interesting.
Wow.
Well, no, when you play The Dark Side of the Moon, and or is it The Dark Side of the Moon? It's one of the Pink Floyd albums. And you turn off the sound on The Wizard of Oz, like it syncs up with the action a lot.
That's yeah, great.
We tried doing it once, but we were using a, a VHS and, a cassette and stuff. So the technology was really crappy and it was tough to really sync it.
But it worked, though? Or was it
sort of just... You'd have to really be patient and really be committed to watching it this way. But you've never heard that?
No.
Yeah, that's just one of those little...
No, the closest thing I've heard is the Flaming Lips album that was four CDs that you're supposed to play simultaneously.
Right.
But did you hear that just to get off track a little bit, the Flaming Lips recently did a thing where they have a bunch of YouTube videos and you're supposed to play them, but like on a 1 second delay, and then it like all adds up to a song. And somebody figured out and I didn't try to do this, but I was reading about it, that you could open several windows on your computer and then start one of them and then like delay a second and then start the next one and then delay a second and right. Then you would like have the song apparently.
Hmm.
So anyway, yeah.
It does seem like the type of thing that they would do.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll be a little predictable. You guys could probably guess that I'd go for the piano ballad. I think it's a really good one. And yeah, it's on the second half of the album. It's track 6 called Codex.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to wait until one of you guys picked that to point out that Tom York's really got an underrated voice.
Oh, yeah. And you know? I think when they lay the reverb on it, it's really effective.
Right.
You know, he's...
Now, there are a couple songs on here that are almost fully his voice. It was, you know, some just real spare instrumentation. That song, actually, the first time I heard it, it kind of reminded me of You and Whose Army from Amnesiac.
Mm-hmm.
And that song, I remember seeing in an interview where they, the beauty of that song is it's so good that they thought that they could have literally gone like on and on, like Hey Jude style forever. But I actually kind of like that they cut it short. So they give you just kind of the, you know, the cool melody and then just, leave you wanting more, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way we do it here at the podcast. Cut it short.
We go on four times always, as long as people want.
Always leave them asking for more. That's one of the showbiz, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
I think we leave them asking like for the credo more of the cyanide showbiz. Pills.
Yeah, maybe that too. But is it my turn?
It can be anybody's turn.
Okay.
This is a free-for-all.
Well, those my favorite songs by far were already chosen. I do like the fifth song, Lotus Flower, a lot, but... I'm gonna steer away from that one, and pick one of the more. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It's right in the middle. It's called Feral, or Feral, whichever way you want to pronounce it, and it kind of neatly divides. I think the first half and the second half, and it's pretty much just an instrumental, and the main instrument is just a drum, and it gets kind of atmospheric and stuff like that. But I think it's just kind of a cool little rhythm interlude in the middle of the album.
This is the first time that I've listened to that with a good set of headphones. It makes a difference. You know, it's there's a lot of subtlety to this album, and it, you know, the first time you listen to it, at least for me, it just kind of like it sounded like Tom York just kind of gliding randomly over some, you know, some sort of creative but not very catchy tracks. But then the more you listen to it, the melodies make more sense. It's kind of like with anything, I guess, but this one I think in particular is like, upon repeated listens, it really gets better, and it's good.
It's a grower.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So well, Chris, we could turn it back to you if you want to make another pick.
Well, I mean, I could keep picking all night, but at some point, yeah, I'm just gonna play the whole album.
Right You could do that too.
If you wanted to play another one, I'd go with Give Up the Ghost, which is another one on the back end of the album, second to last, and it's kind of a really slow one. So,
oh yeah, that's the sort of guitar ballad that follows the piano ballad.
Yes.
So yeah, let's play at least a little bit of that. Here you go. Darling, darling.
Couple things is, what's going on in the background there? Is somebody singing "Don't Hurt Me" or what is that? I can't really tell.
I don't know,
but I think I've discovered the meaning of this album. Beginning of the song, there's like some birds chirping and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
There's also a song called "Morning, Mr. Magpie." Bloom, you know, feral lotus flower.
Yep.
This is their nature album. This song is all about nature. What do you think about that?
All right.
Wouldn't you think that on an album about nature, you'd kind of hear some more organic sounds other than...
Well, but it's still...
Because there's
still
a lot of
radio,
electronic stuff
still
going
Radiohead.
On.
Yeah, they had...
It's still Radiohead.
Well, yeah.
You know, like the Dixieland Preservation Jazz Band could write an album that's all about computers, and they would still use trombones and banjos.
Yeah, they could.
I think they did, actually.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
I don't think they did.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, we could play the whole album, but we'll resist the temptation. You know, the first track is really good. It's got this really just kind of crazy drum beat. And,
right.
And then when you listen to it, at least my thought was, how does he even know when to start singing? Because the drums, you can't even tell like what the syncopation is, you know?
Right?
Which is kind of cool. So anyway, get the album and listen to it and see what you think. And have you guys ever seen Radiohead live?
Did we see him together, Chris?
I don't know. I saw him at Alpine Valley once.
Did Stephen Malkmus open up?
Yes.
Were
and
you
the Jicks.
Sitting? Yes.
Yes. Were you then I guess we did. It was most, yeah. Must have been really memorable.
We were sitting by some neighbors of yours that have since moved away.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for remembering that I was there. Appreciate
it. Sorry about that.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to see it because I think they'd be a really cool band to see live, which I never have.
Well, the sound at Alpine Valley is terrible. So. But it was a good show, as
yeah,
I recall.
It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, they wouldn't play a small club. You know, they could pretty much sell out big arenas, couldn't they? I think. Although they're one of these bands, it's hard to tell how popular they are. But I think they have, like, I think their following is just so big that they'd really... Have they toured lately at all? I don't think they toured for the last album, did they?
Not that I know of. That had to be like 8 years ago that we saw them? Something like that? 8, 9 years ago? Maybe 2003?
Yeah, I bet it was after Hail to the Thief. It was like that tour.
That was
03, right? Or,
that was 04, yeah.
04.
Yeah.
You know what? They did play for In Rainbows tour or whatever. I remember them playing in Millennium Park in Chicago. And I thought you were actually talking about going to that.
Boy.
Did we?
If I did, I forgot.
No, not that you did, but...
No, I know. I wouldn't have forgotten if I went, but I mean, I don't remember talking about it either, but
right.
Maybe I did.
You probably don't remember that Grand Funk show in 75 that we went to at Cobo Hall, do you?
No, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Crazy times.
Yes. Yeah, they'd be a great headliner for Lollapalooza, wouldn't they? I mean, they would just pack that place. Mm-hmm. Man, oh, man. Yeah. All right, Radiohead, everybody. And now, let's go to our second band, which I guess you guys have just barely listened to a little bit. But I put you on notice that I like this album by a band called Yuck. And it's another band from England. I think it's London. And they are, well, as I described them to you guys, retro 90s. They sound like a whole lot of 90s bands, but in a really good way. I think I'm just really enjoying this album a lot. So I think, Chris, you said you only went one time through. Barrett, did you get much of a chance to listen to this?
I listened to it a couple of times. So compared to Chris, I'm kind of an expert, maybe.
Yeah.
Chris, did you have a song that stuck out, or
Not really. Just go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead without me.
I'm going to play some music for you, Chris, okay?
Please. So, I'll just sit back and listen.
So I listened to it a couple times through, and I pretty much was liking just about all of it. And just this morning, dropped my kid off at school. I'm driving from his school to my work, and I had a chance to kind of turn it up in the car, and it was just great. The first half in particular, I just think is really great. So I'll start with track 6 called Georgia.
Yeah, it's kind of Yola Tango-y, right?
That's one of the bands they get compared to, and that song kind of is. You hear a little bit of Sonic Youth in the reviews, which I don't hear all that much. And there's one of my favorite 90s bands they actually kind of remind me of, and that's the Lemonheads.
Yeah.
And some of the other tracks a little bit more, so. Did anything grab you here, Barrett? Or do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick one. I'm going to kind of open myself up to criticism that, you know, it looks like I went through trying to find one I liked and didn't get very far before I just, like, settled on one.
So
I'm
going to... Uh-oh.
I'm not picking the first one. I'm picking the second. I'm picking the second one.
Oh, yeah.
And not because it's you know, less obvious than picking the first one, but I like it quite a bit. And this one is called The Wall. Trying to make it through the wall.
We'll be right back.
What do you guys have to say about that one?
I really like that one. They get a lot of mileage out of that riff, but it's a good riff.
It's a good riff.
It's worth getting some mileage out of.
How did he come up with those lyrics, though? That's amazing.
He's
a poet.
Yes, that, absolutely.
Trying to make it through the wall.
And you can see me if you're tall.
You can see me if you're tall. Like,
yeah.
Looking over that wall. Wow, that's...
That's good.
Yep. So that one's about walls.
Yes. And these guys are apparently like 20 years old. It's another one of these bands of young people. So, who are precocious rockers.
Right.
I would say. So, I mentioned the Lemonheads comparison. This is one in particular that I thought had that influence. It's called Shook Down. I think the other obvious influence there is Teenage Fan Club, some of their 90s stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I'm gonna listen to this one some more.
Yeah, there's
I could definitely see myself getting into it more and more. Although, you know, I do have to warn you, and I do have to mention this, that a new Y-Oak just came out, or is just about to come out.
Yeah.
Which is already streaming, so...
So you won't be able to listen to anything else for, like, the next 4 months.
Right, that's really going to be a time vampire for me.
Okay, so, you know, you've talked about Y-Oak a lot, and I have two of their albums, okay? Mm-hmm. Is this their third one, or am I missing some?
This is their third full-length. They do have an EP that came out late last year.
Now, if I'm gonna understand this, do you recommend maybe that I listen to the other ones and get to know them a little bit, or just can I just dive right into this? Is this like watching Back to the Future 3 without having seen Back to the Futures 1 and 2? Or
you could certainly dive into this new one. I think you can go in cold turkey.
Okay.
So this may be a topic for a future podcast, but it really is kind of strange to acquaint yourself with a band with their later work and then try to go back and listen to the earlier stuff.
Right.
Because I think it's, even if their earlier stuff might be better, you might already be too familiar with the new stuff.
Right.
Like, yeah, what they sound like to understand how, like, groundbreaking it might have been at the time that it came out. So,
right.
I think it is. Yeah. Harder to go backwards.
It's super hard. Like the, I got into the second Libertines album, and I loved it, and I listened to it over and over. and later went back and got the first one and didn't like it as much. But I'm the only person in the whole world that feels that way. Most people, I mean, that like both of them.
I mean, most people hate the second
one.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, you know, the second one's okay, but the first one's amazing. And I feel the opposite. So, yeah, what Chris said is absolutely true. We could probably think of lots of examples. That would be a good topic for someday.
Yeah, once you've already, you know, broken the seal on, you know, understanding what they sound like, it's kind of harder to impress you with the first album.
Like Chris's favorite REM album is Around the Sun. And I said, dude, you gotta go back and listen to Murmur and Reckoning. And he can't get into them.
Yeah.
He just doesn't get it.
Hey, they've got a new album coming out too. So yeah, we got some Tuesday blockbusters to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it's already streaming online somewhere. So.
Yes, it is. Okay. Well, Radiohead and Yuck. Radiohead recommended by all of us. Yuck recommended by me, but I think maybe you guys will warm up to it a little more.
You got a buy-in, I think, from both of us on that one.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. You know, turn it up in the car. It does sound better loud. Some of the tracks in particular, and it has a good variety of. It's almost all '90s influenced, I think, but it's you know, different kinds of '90s influence. So it's interesting, fun. All right. Got anything else, guys, or are we going to close up shop for the week?
No, just go to Indie Coffee. They've been doing yeoman's work in keeping people warm while they're protesting.
That's right.
Are you guys still doing that?
Or they locked
the Capitol down, right?
Yeah. Well, we've had to do it outside, but people call and you know, it's not like everybody's heard about Ian's Pizza and they've been on CNN and stuff.
Yeah.
But we got some people calling and like, yeah, you know, we're not out soliciting the business. That seemed kind of crass. But
so how do you think people just knew they just liked the name of the coffee shop and they figured that you guys were down with the cause or what?
I don't know what they do. I don't know how they found us, but because
there's a Starbucks right like 100 yards away that they could have called.
Right.
And there's a Breeks that's a block
Breeks
off the
is
square
close.
Too. Yeah.
Tons of stuff. Michelangelo's. Michelangelo's got so busy that first Saturday when there were like 70,000 people there, they had to close because they didn't have any coffee left.
Huh.
Wow. Like,
we don't have any coffee to brew.
A coffee shop with no coffee.
Yeah. Because they just had, you know, you're not really set up to be, you know, for several days in a row, have one customer after the other.
Yeah.
Unless you are a Starbucks or something.
When I worked at the Capitol, like at least once a week, somebody'd pull a fire alarm or something, and everybody'd have to go stand out in the cold. And I'm almost certain that it was a ploy on behalf of the Starbucks across the street.
Right.
Because when the Capitol empties out, like half of it goes over to that Starbucks to buy coffee.
Right. Yeah, that's a good strategy if your sales quota is down. You know, you need a little. It's late in the month, you know, and you got to get the coffee sales up. Pull a fire alarm.
So I think the events of late have been good for all of us.
Yeah, maybe so, different ways.
If only our state government could cause like an international political incident like every other week, I think we'd be in business.
We could be. Yeah,
our lives would be more eventful. That's for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
But speaking of that, Chris, we do have to. Will and I voted and passed a new resolution where you're going to have to pay $100 a day for every day that you're not in Floyd's bedroom studio.
That's right. When he's not in the studio, it's a little commission that he's got to pay. I mean, get over here and do your job, Chris.
If I were to be
that you're
going to
be able to bargain
studios
out of that either.
If I were to actually be in fourth bedroom studios, it would cost you a heck of a lot more money than that.
Oh, it would, huh?
Yeah, I eat a lot. You'd have to keep me full of scotch and...
Well, that's true, yeah. But we do that because this is a studio. It's kind of like the high-end recording studios, like where Bono goes to mix his album or whatever, you know, that they're going to have the top-shelf stuff.
Right.
And what we don't have here is we need a nice leather couch in here.
Yeah,
I live like a Charlie Sheen type of existence, so I'm constantly winning.
You've got the... Yeah. Yeah. You've got the... what does he call his... Well, he calls him his family.
I've got like, tiger blood and like Viking veins or something.
Yeah. It's we should have him as a guest because that would really spice it up, the podcast.
I wonder what kind of Skype.
What kind of music do you think he likes, though? I bet he doesn't like good music. He just, I mean, the guy's obviously, not only is he insane, but he's just a dick. Can't you just tell that you would not want to spend 20 minutes hanging out with this guy? Except that you could later on tell people that you did. That would be the only reason to do it.
People are getting the exact opposite impression of like, oh, he's a cool guy because now he's like, he could just shed everything and just say, here's who I am, take it or leave it. So I think he's gaining popularity despite having some, you know, like domestic violence arrests in his past and things. So,
Well, I mean, he's in the new, you know, I guess you could say there's no such thing as bad publicity when you're a guy like Charlie Sheen. I think we can say that, right? I mean, he's enjoying the attention.
Yeah.
But I think he comes across as sort of a, he has sort of a, like his personality is almost like a non-personality. He's not like a real person. There's nothing about the things that he says that ordinary people can identify with. Do you feel that way, Chris? You've maybe watched more of it.
Yeah,
than
I mean, in some respects, you have to keep your BS guard up and say, is this just all an act? And you
he's
know,
completely
is he actually being serious,
yeah,
or is he just kind of, are we all part of his joke?
Well, I think he's being serious, but he doesn't know. That's who he is, and who he is, you know, it's a personality that's not recognizable to people that aren't just unbelievably self-important and out of touch. I think Chris doesn't feel this bile toward Charlie Sheen that I do.
Yeah.
He just makes my skin crawl.
I don't pay enough attention.
Yeah. Well, he's had a public meltdown for about a month now, and we'll see how long this goes.
Yeah.
I mean, he could die like in a week. And if you've seen him, it looks like that might be a good bet.
He's not looking real healthy. Yeah, he looks like he needs to eat something.
Speaking of people who don't look healthy, whatever happened to Amy Winehouse? Remember when she was so trashed that she looked like you just said, like she's going to die within a week.
Right.
And then she must not have died because he would have heard about it, right?
But
haven't heard anything about her lately.
What's funny is that's a discussion like 10 years ago. This is a discussion we would have had sitting around at a bar or something, and we'd forget about it and never discuss it again. But now you just like punch it up on the computer and you almost have to know like within 30 seconds.
Oh,
what
you mean,
happened to Amy Winehouse?
She's doing the search right now. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
She's going to, I think her next album is going to be humongous. You know, that last one was really big, but it kind of started off small and stuck up on people. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was everywhere. But this next one is, you know, the anticipation is going to be pretty big. And
maybe that's a good strategy.
I kind of like her. I kind of like her.
I didn't really
like her voice. I don't know the album, but I've heard some covers of like special songs and stuff, and really, really pretty unique talent. Do you like her, Chris? Or
yeah, I liked her last album reasonably enough.
I mean, it's definitely, there's something there. You know, it's not just somebody being hyped by the machine. I think she's got some talent.
Well, if she stays alive, maybe there will be another album. Yeah.
All right, boys.
Okay, yeah, I think we've exhausted it, so we're going to say goodnight. So that's it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See you, boys.